Hi, everyone. This is Jill and Kim with One Harmonic Hole.
Welcome.
He's jumping up and down with excitement.
Yes. Yep.
Well, we have an interesting topic today.
Yes, we do. What's the topic, Jill?
You already know the problem.
It's you.
Ouch. Yep. This problem is sponsored by Solstice, by the way.
What's Solstice? Oh, Solstice is Kim's holistic wellness business.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll just leave it at that for today.
All right.
Make you question what it really is.
We'll tell you more about it another time. But yes, she does awesome work, by the way. But back to the topic today. You already know the problem. It's you. Well, let's call a spade a spade.
Yep. If that hurt you, if that just dug a little wrench inside of you, maybe you felt the little nail, maybe you felt the little stabby somewhere. Yeah, this message is for you. Keep listening. Keep listening.
Ooh. You know, on the surface, it seems harsh. Ultimately, though, bear with us. You will find out that it's a very loving, compassionate title, truly at its core. Getting to the core of it is a little of a process.
Yes. Yep. Okay. So how did we get to this topic? Oh, my goodness. So Jill and I have been problem solving things recently a lot. And we keep coming back to, we know the problem. We know exactly the problem. We have all these great ideas, but how to move forward out of that problem, which the problem is creating, like actual, can create physical pain, mental pain, just like an emotional stress in our body. And I even hissed today.
She hissed. I've never seen her hiss before. It was very funny to me. But that was your visceral reaction.
Yes.
To a problem we were playing with, dancing with. We weren't even solving it. We were just trying to, I mean, you know, we hadn't gotten to this solution yet. You just literally hissed. You're like,
yeah. It's like, oh, you just hissed.
Yep.
So I'm assuming a lot of you in life have either yelled or stamped their feet on the ground, threw something. You have some way of physically expressing out frustration.
Okay. Or you store it in your body, yes. Which is my specialty. At least it used to be. I still do it, but not as much as I used to. And it caused massive problems for me to store it.
Yep. Okay. So where is all of this, this problem really coming from? Why are we here? How do we get to this problem?
How do we know the problem and that it's us?
Yeah.
Okay. So here is a very concrete example. Today I was talking earlier about listening to our heart, being on the side of our heart versus being on judgment. And that was actually one of the topics we floated about the podcast today. Let's talk about, you know, being on the side of our heart. And then we dug deeper into it and we're like, well, ultimately we can have that conversation.
Yeah.
But the way you get on the side of your heart and out of judgment is that you acknowledge that the problem's you.
Yes.
Hence the topic for today. But where it came up is that I am not very often on the side of my heart. I am so often in judgment. And then I've tended to, throughout my life, deflect or place blame elsewhere. And I know I am not alone in this.
Yep.
And I also know that it's a process that I engage time and time again. I could look back, see so many times in my life when I've engaged it. I can also see into the future that if I don't acknowledge this problem being me, I'm going to get more of the same result.
Yep.
And so that's what Kim and I really picked up on as like, okay, we could talk about the heart and judgment. But at the end of the day, Kim basically was like, at the end of the day, Jill, the problem's you.
Yeah. Yep.
And then if we would bring this up with Kim and something that's gone on with Kim, we'd be like, at the end of the day, Kim, the problem is you.
Correct.
Yep. Or to you, the podcast listener, whatever pain issue, yep. pain point, be it physical pain, life pain, not achieving a dream, working a job you don't like, pick the pain.
Yep.
If you want that to change, it's simply not changing because of you.
Yep.
Ouch.
Yep. Yeah.
We need, how do we do that?
Yep. Well, you know the problem. You already know the problem. You are in the problem. You are in the pain. So you may not realize, you may not realize that you're actually in the problem or you're dealing with the problem, but yet your physical body is telling you something different. So one way or another, you are getting the message that there is a problem that needs to be looked into, adventured into. And by the way, I just have to say this. So we are in a office that's fairly quiet most of the time.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And we start this podcast. Sure enough, we have a salon next door. And it's not very often that we hear a lot of noise from that. But we start the podcast and a hair dryer goes off. And it's loud in here. So if you hear a background little humming noise, that is a hair dryer next door. Okay.
And if you don't, our technology is working because it's supposed to filter that out.
Correct. But as I'm sitting here, I wanted to go, and Jill even looked at me when it started, and both of us wanted to go into the judgment.
Uh-huh.
So here's a pain.
Yep.
And in my head, as we're talking, I'm going through my head, I'm analyzing, okay, this is really tough to hear this and be in the present moment. Okay, so this is literally happening in real life as we're speaking. It is a pain. Okay, and I'm sitting here thinking, okay, they tell me it's all my fault. It's my problem, my pain. Even though the salon next to me turned on their hair dryer.
Yeah. Okay,
they have, for one, they have a right to have a hair dryer going. They are a salon. They are a business. Okay, I cannot control that. Is this a situation I can control? Absolutely not. I cannot control it. But what I can control, and this is where I feel like most of us get stuck in, is the way I react, the way I respond. If I went into judgment mode and I'm thinking, I cannot believe this is going on right now. This is ruining my podcast. This is ruining the experience because this person over here feels like they need to do this. Well, guess what? I chose to be in this spot at this time. I chose to be in this office, okay? I know what's around me. I know the experiences that can happen. A big truck can come by and totally shake this building if it really wanted to.
What's funny, too, is that before you brought it up, Kim,
yeah,
the hairdryer's been going on and off. And then there for a little while, it actually shut off for me.
Yes.
Yes. Now it's back. I think it's that it is the reaction.
Yes.
And to pain.
Yeah.
We react to pain. We react to what we don't like, to what's upsetting us, to what's bothering us.
Yes. That is the pain. It's not a physical pain as we're, it can be a physical pain, but most of the time it's just kind of the annoyance.
Mm-hmm. Annoyance, the judging yourself.
Yes.
It's not a physical pain, but judging ourselves is not comfortable.
No.
No. It's not an enjoyable experience. And it's addressing that pain and going, do I want to create more pain? Add pain to pain.
Yeah.
Or turn it into a game.
Yep. Okay. So now I'm going to take some really, deep scenarios. They're going deep with this stuff.
Okay.
Because they like to.
Who are they, Kim?
Thank you for asking, because my brain actually literally just said that before I even said it. My human brain was like, Kim, you should really explain what they are.
Who are they?
Okay. Yeah. So they is our higher selves, the soul level of our spiritual experience that you are having here on Earth. So it is your higher self speaking. Some people want to call them spirit guides. I have, I probably never explained it this way before, but this is how I'm going to explain it. Okay. So it's not that it's passed over loved ones that are hanging out with me. It's not our relatives that some people want to believe or think that I have a relative next to me that was in my life as a childhood. So my grandma, and she's coming to me and she's giving me messages from the other side. It's not that, okay? It is literally aspects of myself, my soul, that I split up into ways that I can actually hear them, I can interpret them. So they are literally all aspects of myself. Is what it really is. It's not another soul that is speaking for me. These are all aspects of me, my connection to the greater source, higher power, God, whatever you want to define it. It is your soul speaking to you.
So then it gets interesting though too, because you call it they, and they who are your higher soul.
Yes.
This higher aspect of you, but they also have personalities.
Absolutely. They're
so it's different aspects though of you.
Yes.
That have personalities.
Yes.
So it's still all one Kim.
It's yes. It's all one. Yep.
One harmonic whole.
Correct. Yep. So I like to use the word they because some of them, okay, like I will describe one of them as very eccentric. And this is an aspect of myself, like deep down within me, like I am fearful of actually being expressive all that way. So his job, because he likes to go by him, he will come through when I'm dealing with certain issues. It's like that deep core belief system that you know, but your human brain, your ego really struggles to get into. So it's easier sometimes to disconnect from your ego. Ooh, I'm calling myself out on stuff here. Okay. It's easier to disconnect from your ego and then go into another place and actually put blame then on somebody else. Well, my spirit guides told me this. In reality, it is you just telling yourself a story. When you become more clear with that and exactly where it's actually coming from, you're like, oh my gosh, it's really just me. It is an aspect of myself that maybe I can't get to in an ego sense, but these are.
Yeah. So some people have taken this and they'll say they call their spirit guides, which is very separate from them. And it honestly, if that works for someone, then that's the other people will have ascended masters.
Mm-hmm.
Other people have angel names. And if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying no matter how that's framed, it's still you who are creating that story.
Yes.
It's not a right or wrong story, because if someone, say, connects with angels.
Yeah.
And this goes back to something that is actually very hard for our human brains to understand. Goes back to, if we all are one, then if you're connecting with, say, 20 angels that your brain is telling you are separate from you, the truth is that actually we are all connected, so they are still an expression of you. So
it gets
far off into the weeds, but we can do a whole nother podcast too at some point on spirit guides and what that all means. But we're going back to like what Kim was meaning by when she says they are saying, when it comes to you already know the problem and it's you, they are going deep.
Yep.
They are Kim's spirit guides, that aspect of our higher self are saying some deep stuff or want to say some deep stuff to us.
And when they are sharing
this
information, I am literally letting go from ego, from my personal stuff will definitely come in, and from my personal this present day time experiences that I remember, it will share, it wants to share some things there. But when you go into the higher self, these spirit guides, if you want to call them, when you go into that level, it connects to all. So you and I and everybody that is listening, we are actually all just one. We are completely one. So when you go into that level, we are all just feeling each other's stuff, but we can actually be very supportive and actually be very, very, very empathetic to each other, because you know the experience. You're living it, you're being it. And so even though a person physically doesn't have the exact, you didn't have this happen to you, so you don't know. Well, actually they do know, because on a subconscious, higher source level, they actually do know. We all know, because we are all connected. Whew. Okay. With that being said, where were we? So when it comes to this being our problem,
Oh, well, are you talking about the problem when we say you already know the problem in you? Yeah. It's like we go in deeper. Yeah.
So we're going in deeper to the problem. Say we are having a fight with a significant other. And there is yelling at each other for whatever reason. And you're like, man, this person, they're at fault. Like, you're trying to call them out on it. You're trying to maybe de-escalate the situation. Maybe you're like, okay, I'm getting like ringing in the ears. For some of you, you maybe have been in some really, really, really deep situations with a significant other. Maybe you've been hit. Maybe you've been physically hurt. First off, I hear I'm very sorry that you had to experience that. But I also want to say, you allowed yourself to be put into that situation because you were not listening with your heart. You were following judgment. You were following fear, and which led you to stay into that situation, which then sometimes we, your higher self, energy, pure source, however you want to describe it, literally has to slap you upside the head for you to like get a wake up call. We had to pull the rug out from underneath you because you are not listening with your heart anymore.
So when we truly listen with our heart, that is then that we're connecting to that higher self,
yes,
that higher aspect of ourselves. And if we don't listen to our hearts, and then we tend to follow, say, what we have called your judgment, or also there's training, what we should do.
Yes.
Also, a big one is that you said fear.
Yep.
Or we're scared.
The unknown. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, if I still have a child with this person, I need to stay with them for the child. And I'm here in my head. I call bullshit on that one. So you're training your child to believe that it's okay to be tortured.
Yeah. And we do that. We all do that stuff in various scenarios a lot. And we've talked to in the past, and I believe there's going to be a lot more about this, in that we've got to be able to engage life as more of a game, as an adventurous game.
Yep.
And playing with it, which requires coming from a place, and so we can stick with what we're talking about here, the coming from the side of the heart, if you will.
Yep.
And it's a place that's it's more stable. It's more, we feel more, even if we don't know what's going on, we feel a sense of like comfort, or we're safe, or, you know, we're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Or we have a knowing. There's a lot of different ways to come at it, but basically it's anything but fear.
Yes. Yeah.
And we are the ones, that's where we started with, you already know the problem. It's you. We want these changes.
Yep.
If we want these changes, pick it.
Yep.
Relationship. Like we said earlier, job, physical health.
Yep.
The
dryer next door.
Yeah. The noise coming through.
Yep. Pull me back in. When I say pulling me back in, by the way, it's like I get pulled back into everybody else's energy versus like being in my human self. It's very odd. It's super fun. So they're like, you keep hearing the problem is you. You keep hearing Kim and Jill say the problem is you. And then I see somebody smiling. So this is like your higher self smiling at you. And they're like, we maybe hit you upside the head. Maybe we pulled the rug out from underneath you. Maybe we've been putting signs in front of you and you're just not listening with your heart. And they're like, really? When we say listen to your heart, it's like that subconscious knowing. You already know the answers. The problem is you're not allowing those answers to come to the surface. You've been asking for guidance. You've been getting it from people all around you. People have been telling you, you should do this, you should do that. Okay, by the way, they're like, when people say should, listen to that with a grain of salt.
Wow.
Okay. Because you should not do anything for anybody else. Like, first and foremost,
Shouldn't all over yourself. That's why I've heard it, but stop shouldn't all over yourself.
Yep. So just listen to some of the verbiage. You do not need to act upon it right away, but just listen, okay? if it doesn't resonate at the time, and when I say resonate, if it doesn't like click inside of you, if it doesn't create like a nerve, if it doesn't spring up a nerve inside of you, or anything, as you're like, you hear it, you're like, okay, there's really no feeling with it. Let it be. Do not move forward with that one. But when you're in a situation, there's a time and place for feeling. Whoa. When you're in a situation, say you're in a, I'm going to go back to domestic. When you're angry, you're frustrated, things are not going your way. This is where the intervention comes into play. Because you're like, I don't know how to get out of this. I know I need to get out of this. I know the problem. Okay. The problem is I feel stuck. Okay. I feel stuck that I can't express myself. I feel stuck that I can't say what I need. I'm not getting the help that I need. I know that's my problem. Okay. So this is where the human brain goes into there. They're like, okay, what's your intervention? Jill, I love your list. They're showing me your list. So they're showing me intervention. This is where I get pulled all over the place. There's multiple interventions. Some people choose to go to, say, drinking alcohol. Some people choose to disconnecting and going and hanging out with their friends all the time. Really not really facing the problem. It's a distraction. So you're using a distraction as an intervention. They're like, some of these distractions can actually be very powerful when used appropriately. So if you're, everything comes down to intention. So if your intention is to, I just need to get away for a little bit, that's not going to serve you any good. It's not going to serve you any purpose. But if your intention is to, okay, I'm asking for help, I'm asking for guidance, lead me, you have to say this like in your head, lead me to sources, lead me to experiences that will help me find myself better in this state of chaos. Oh. And then they're like, then you start following what pings off of your heart. So if somebody says, hey, let's go to the bar and let's just go dance and drink our night away. And you're just like, that sounds super fun. Cool. It will get my mind off of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, then don't do nothing. It might give you a little reprieve at the moment, but you're not fixing the problem. The problem is still there.
Right.
Okay.
Or how about this? If you do go and do that, because sometimes too, some FaceTime fun enjoyment is a good thing as well. But it's more that, again, like you said, the intention is to say, you're clear that you're bracketing the problem for the moment.
Yes.
And going to do something, but you will come back to it. What most people do, though, is we bracket the problem, go play, and then just move on. As though the problem isn't there. But the thing is the problem is still there.
Yes.
Exactly. No matter how many times you try it, that's where, when we started, the problem, it's you.
Yeah.
And I've done this so many times. Like, you're what? Okay, I'm just going to go do this. And then you just get distracted and you move on. And then that problem comes back and bites you in the butt again. You're like, this thing's still here.
Yep. Dang it. He didn't go away yet?
And it comes back. Problems tend to come back more intense. Higher intensity each time.
Yes.
Because some of us need a lot of intensity to gain attention from it.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
So if you are one of those people that you're feeling stuck, you're feeling like you're not moving forward. You're like, okay, the problem is my job. And I don't know, like, this is all I know. I don't want to look for another job. And they're like, well, that's not our fault that you don't want to look for another job. If you choose not to look for another job, then you are choosing to stay within the problem.
So that's what I was just getting as you were saying that. I'm like, hashtag truth bomb coming your way. I could feel it coming from the pink. Then that is the truth. The truth is, if you have a problem such as, I don't like my job, but you don't want to look for a job, it's just going to get worse.
Yep.
That's actually the intervention you could do with yourself at that moment and say, if I don't like my job and I don't want to look for a job, this is just going to get worse.
That is the truth.
Yep. So that's one direction you can go with an intervention.
Yes.
Another direction might be,
right?
To maybe play with that?
Yep.
Say, okay,
turn it into a game.
Yep.
Say, all right, what is it about this job that I really don't like? Mm-hmm. So start self-analyzing. What is it that you're doing at this job that you really
I just heard a collective groan. Oh, you self-analyze.
Virgo of me loves to self-analyze. Come on now.
She does. Kim, you do. You love it and you're really good at it. And you have like refined the art of self-analysis to the point that it's literally a game for you. Just for the record, most of us do not find it a fun game. Most of us do the collective groan of, oh my God, I have to analyze myself. Well, I think some of it is because we've confused self-analysis with self-judgment.
Yes.
And so the analysis becomes a painful experience.
Yes.
So then we're meeting pain with pain.
Yes.
And I think you've trained yourself to meet pain with a game.
Yeah.
Self-analysis is a game to you.
It really is.
It is. You won't, if it hurts you, you just won't do it. You'll be like, nope, not doing that. But you're so fast at it, you don't even necessarily now know.
Right.
You did when you taught yourself.
Oh,
you had
absolutely
to walk yourself through it step by step, but you've done it now for so long that you're like, you need to self-analyze yourself. How are you? Can you teach it? Okay. So let's give a concrete example of self-analyzing ourselves in Kim's
brain.
Kim's game brain.
Yes.
If you don't like your job.
Okay. So I'm going to go back to, say, a job that a lot of times what happens is that we are in a job and we do not like it. Okay. Mm-hmm. We find every single thing wrong. We find faults. We find blaming other people, staffing, whatever. Okay. So I'm going to go there. I will say now, out of all my jobs that I've had in the past, I cannot say anything negative about any job. Now I can say that. But in the past, when you're in it, oh my gosh, that hurts. It literally hurts. So one job in particular, as most of you know, or if you don't know, I'm an RN. So I've worked in many different areas. I've worked clinic, I worked hospital, I worked nursing home, I worked assisted living, I did hospice. Like I kind of did the gamut all over.
Babies all the way from birth to death.
Basically. Yes. Yep. And every experience was a very, very challenging, unique. Every single experience was a unique experience. It helped me learn, honestly, who I am as a person. So when I ask, say I was in a negative job, at that time it was a negative job, there was always, you had to work double shifts because the next staff would never show up. So then you have to do double the work and you're just like, oh my gosh, you never know how to plan because I work evening shift and then all of a sudden, oh, by the way, you get to work an overnight. There's nothing open in town for any food. So you don't know if you're planning to work an overnight or not. Do you have enough food? Do you not have enough food?
Besides add to that the family and
yes,
everything else.
Yep, so yeah. You're thinking about tomorrow morning, all these things. And then you have to think about the clientele, evening shift versus night shift. Like there's just a lot that goes on. And everybody has done this with a job. I can guarantee almost everybody that's listening has had a job where you don't really know what to expect at times. So that's literally what it came down to was I didn't know what to expect. Out of all the stuff, that was the most frustrating thing. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what was going to happen with the clients. You know, you're kind of just willy-nilly sometimes the evening because you're like, oh crap, like this is a new situation I've never dealt with. I've read about it in textbooks, but then I'm calling doctors and they're saying something and all these things. And you have to troubleshoot right at the drop of your hat. I loved that aspect. I loved troubleshooting. It came down to the fact of I did not feel like I had control of my fate. I could not control what might may or may not happen. That was very struggling to me. And I started having a lot of inflammation, started having a lot of pain. So in that moment, I just kind of kept going.
So you felt stuck because you talked about that earlier.
Yeah.
Stuck or you felt trapped.
Yep.
It wasn't, because, yeah, that's what I got. Where it was,
yeah,
that you necessarily needed so much control over
right.
it. You needed more of the freedom to do Kim.
Yes.
Yep. To be Kim.
And I didn't know that at the time.
Right.
Okay. You don't know some of these things. So you're in this moment and it was very, the job was challenging, but yet I go home and I gripe about it. Like this person didn't show up for the job. And then I had to do this. And then I had to do that. Then this person fell. And then I had all these admissions and I look at all the work, you taste, so the task types up. I was so focused on the task that I wasn't seeing all the actual really cool things I was learning about myself at that moment. So I got caught up in it and I felt stuck and I felt like I couldn't move. And then I got used to the money. Okay. I got used to the paychecks of working double time and overtime. So then my life changed around that income coming in. Mm-hmm. So now you feel stuck because you're now living at that income versus the original income that I was supposed to be starting off with. So now you're like, well, I have to work because this is the income I have created my life around. Okay. Then you have.
So there's another layer of feeling stuck.
Yep.
So you're.
It was just piling on top of one another. And then it finally came down to where my family literally had to intervene and my family got super sick and my kids did. And that was when I realized that I put so much time and effort into my job and I wasn't seeing my kid. I wasn't taking time for my kids.
Well, when you're sick, that's, yeah.
So that's the rug getting pulled off from underneath you.
Yeah. Because that's what I was saying earlier when you said about some restaurant not being open at night or whatever.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I was like, much less a family.
Yeah.
Like, how do you take care of a family when you don't know if you're going to be gone for 12 hours or 18 hours?
Yeah.
It's a big difference with the family at any age children. They were much younger then, but still, even now, it would be challenging for you. And they're quite a bit older. And we know that. We're using this story as we know there's lots of you that are listening who can either identify with the details of what I'm saying or take a story that resonates with you that's similar, where you felt stuck or trapped in something. And yet, as those experiences came up, like you said, we don't always see them until they get big enough to see them. So your kids, your family got sick, and then you could see.
Then the self analysis started coming in. That it's like I had to go to that this is what happened in the past. Like the extreme had to hit me.
Yeah.
And then you're like, what am I doing? It's like you get so caught up in the fog and everything else around you, get caught up in life basically until the rug gets pulled out. And then you're like, whoa, holy cow. I have to make changes.
Now, I would like to talk about that getting caught up in life just briefly.
Yes.
You talked about higher self before. And then you also talked about getting pulled back into your higher self, kind of out of your human self into your higher self. Okay. I've heard people say that where they're like, hey, life gets busy. And they're like, yeah, you're being human. And I'm like, you know what? What I'd like to say for the record is that it's not even being human or higher self. We get into the distracted busyness of life.
Yeah.
And we actually forget to tune into whether it's our human or higher self, we forget to tune into ourselves.
Yes.
We are like so lost, like you said, the fog of life. We're so busy.
You get caught up in all the scenarios, the situations.
The details, the fear, the experiences, the obligations, the shoulds.
Yep.
The, I got to make the mortgage.
Yeah.
What about groceries?
Exactly.
All the things of life. It happens all of us so often. And I just want to clarify, it wouldn't matter if you're in higher self, human self, what self you're in. The analysis is you need to realize, the self-analysis in that moment is to realize we're in the fog.
Yep. And here's a crazy thing is, at that time frame, I thought I was pretty in tune. You know, I was being told, you're an intuitive. Like, I was learning healing touch at that time frame when this was happening. All these like really cool things I was wearing. Doing all the right gemstones and like talking to all the right people, you know? And I was like, why am I so sick? Why am I still caught up in this stuff? I wanted to put blame on everybody else. And then that's when, like when it happened where the rug got pulled out from underneath me, I took a day, honestly, to just start asking questions. We talked about this in the past, start asking questions. I literally got in my head. I know as a child, one place I used to actually go was to church. I actually walked into church and I would sit there just by myself because I knew I was not going to be distracted by anybody else. It wasn't that I was searching for God or that higher self energy.
Quiet and safe. And there's a lot of sanctuaries have a very specific energy to them.
Yep. That was my safe zone. So that's what I did as a child. I didn't know I was actually doing that.
Right.
It just like, that's where I was being at it as a child.
Right.
So now here I am as an adult, I sat there and I'm, okay, where am I going to go? So I started.
that whole, I need to get clarity on when you said you go into your head. Because to me, I'm like, okay, if I go into a sanctuary,
yes,
I'm going into the sanctuary because I'm too much in my head.
It's the opposite.
You have also described to me, Kim, a very distinct experience that you experience in your body, in your being, of knowing when you're in your head, when you're in your ego head, and when you're in your higher self head. So I think I'm going to actually go a little bit further and say you're getting yourself out of your ego self.
Yes.
And more connected to that higher self. You're asking yourself to come out of the fog and get clarity.
Yeah.
When you're saying get into your head. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So if Jill's in her head and going into a sanctuary and going into her head, I could tell myself going into the sanctuary and you're getting out of this ego judgmental side of you that's like really causing a lot of issues.
Yeah.
A lot of fog, a lot of chaos, a lot of confusion, whatever. And getting into
you're connecting to your heart. Right. Is what it really comes down to.
Which is also wholeness, oneness. Yes. Call it what you want.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I had to find that space. I had to find that space. And it took me actually a long time because at that moment, I didn't even know what that was. I thought it was a new job. So, okay, Kim makes excuses. Okay, we need to get a different job because this job's not working for me. It doesn't align with what my family needs. So let's get a different job. Guess what? Problem still stayed. I started getting caught up in all that working extra shifts and everything. So the problem
is you.
Yes, exactly. It was 100%. And so I literally did that 3 times in a row before it finally, like, when are you going to get it, Kim? When are you going to get it? Like,
now, when you got to the moment of when are you going to get it, Kim, were you judgmental and harsh to yourself and mean to yourself?
I really was. Because I was so frustrated that it took me that long.
Yeah.
And it's still, now I can like laugh about it. But at that moment, you couldn't.
Yeah.
Because it hurt.
It hurt. It does. And the reason why it hurts is to get our attention.
Yeah.
And then we have that moment to decide, what's the intervention that I want to take? What direction do I want to go? Do I want to put pain to pain?
Yeah.
Which is usually, quite honestly, what we'll do for a while. So the pain hurts so much. And then I do like the idea of like pain to pain, or do we want to bring a game in? Because I think you brought it in as a game.
I did.
You started playing with it.
Yep. I started like calling myself out on my bullshit, basically. Mm-hmm. I literally was like, okay, you're going to gripe about that? Why? Why? You chose to be in this situation. So then I started having like legit conversations in my head back and forth with my ego. It's like my ego was talking to my ego and literally calling each other out on everything. And I had to, because nobody would do it for me. I had I had support. I really did have the support, but the support that I had around me, I kept seeing them looking at me and like saying these things to me, or like, it looked rude. It looked condescending, but in reality, that's just how I was perceiving everything at the time. They weren't meaning, they were sending information with love.
Yeah.
But I was so caught up in my own judgment.
Yeah.
But you couldn't. So this is where you've been trying the intervention many, many times. You already know the problem. The problem is you. You've been trying your interventions, but then
it's still not working. So what happens at that stage is that if you don't take another level of intervention, you're just going to end up with more pain.
Yep.
And so I look at this and go, Kim, I'm stuck in that exact cycle.
Yep.
I have completely different circumstance. Don't need to go into it because it's the same. I mean, it could have, but we'll just start there. And I'm like, yeah, I self-analyzed and I'm still not calling myself out on my own bullshit. Like I am, but I'm still like going, but it's not.
It's a practice.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen overnight. Your life is not going to shift overnight.
So how do I, if I'm listening to this and I'm like pretending I'm, just someone listening to this and not hosting this with Kim, and I'm stepping into your shoes as the listeners and going, but Kim, what do I do? How do I do that? It's not working.
Yeah.
My calling myself out on my own, I keep getting the same problem coming back.
Okay.
What's...
So they're just laughing. Back to the higher self here. They are completely laughing at us right now. And they're like, And they're kind of shaking their heads. It really comes down to when you're asking, we're giving you the guidance, we're giving you all the tools. So you're sometimes still caught up in the fog. So when you remove yourself from situations, clear the throat. When you remove yourself from a situation, so say it's a job and you go, okay, on a vacation for a week and you start thinking clearly, you start seeing things, you're that self-analyzing that you've been doing, the self-judgment, whatever you're doing, and you start seeing things from a different perspective. They're like, there you go. There you go. And they're doing this little tiny clap and they're like, now you're catching on. Now stop and look back. Look, yes, they're saying to look back a little bit on yourself and saying, okay, how can I change this? Can I change that company? That company was designed that way. Do I have a right to judge that company for how they have it laid out? Do I have a right to judge the other nurses for not showing up for work? Do I have a right to judge any of them? Because I'm judging myself for that stuff. Whoa. I cannot control that. I cannot control this person in my life. I have to step away from that situation. So sometimes it's really hard to leave a job, maybe hard to step away from a relationship for a little bit. But in reality, it gives you that time to honestly, people need time with themselves.
Okay, so here's what I want to throw in there. We need time with ourselves, but in very clear that there's a distinction between stepping into a sanctuary and giving some space and time to get clear,
yeah,
compared to ignoring all of it and pretending like it's not there and going to bar dancing.
Right.
So yes, we need time with ourselves. So
creating a space or a sanctuary type location for yourself. This could be as simple as sitting in your room for 5 minutes by yourself. It is the fact that you are making a habit, making a plan to do that. And it starts off on honestly with just breathing and putting your hand over your chest. I want to cry all of a sudden. Putting your hand over your chest and just feeling your heart and saying, I am safe. I am safe. Some of you really need to get down to that level before you can even have conversations even in your head.
I think that's a beautiful place for people to go. And let me share this with you is that a few months ago, I decided this is how my brain had to make that work is I had to tell myself that my job is to show up for myself every morning.
Yes.
Literally my job before anything else. And in like 3 months' time, there's been a handful of days that I haven't shown up. And I'll tell you what, my life goes crazy when I don't show up.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of power to simply showing up for yourself,
yeah,
in this space and with that beautiful process you just described, which is what I'd like us to talk about is that we're going to do a healing recording.
Yes, we are.
Be a really nice one about making that space, the breathing, and I'm safe.
Yeah.
The safe thing in our... this is about being safe inside of our own minds and bodies.
Yes.
And regardless of what's going on out in the world now, there are certain circumstances, extreme circumstances, I would say, in the world where people are not safe.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us are actually in any given day quite safe, the majority of us. If you are in an unsafe situation, definitely do something about that if you can.
Yes.
But most of us, the safety we're talking about is the safety and the stability within our own body and within our own mind, and yeah, we can create.
Yep. And if you're not creating it in your household or in your bedroom, wherever, I just heard we will create it for you. If that means if you are going to get pulled to a stop light a little bit longer, or you get stuck in traffic a little bit longer, that is actually creating the space that you need for yourself. So just understand, like when you talk about creating that safe place, safe space.
Ugh. Sanctuary, safe, yes, space, sanctuary, well, space.
Yeah. It's all, it will be created when you put that intention out there.
Yeah. So.
Yes.
All right. Share the idea, the offer that we had about the,
okay,
the healing.
Because you are so amazing and you're still with us right now, which we are super, super grateful for. Sending lots of love to you. So yeah. Thank you. Because you're still here. We want to give you an offer. So we put together healing sessions. So they could be look like little guided meditations. They could be energetic healing. They are designed for you and your energy as to what you need at that time frame. Okay. This is going to be free. And it's only for the people that are actually listening right here, right now. So you need to email us at oneharmonicwhole@gmail.com. You're going to email us. You're going to say, "Hey, Kim and Jill, I loved your recent podcast." And then we want you to put in a special symbol to know that you actually did listen, that you got this information. And please keep this a secret. You can send this podcast to other people and just don't tell them this at the very end, because we want it to be very unique and individual to the people that are listening. It will be a group. So you and you, some other people may be on together. It's probably going to be over, or not quite for sure. It's going to be over phone, video. We'll kind of play it out. We go by your energy and what it's throwing at us. What?
I'm going to email you, then you're going to email me, and you're going to market me, and you're going to do all this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're also, no. If you say no, we stop. If you right. don't want anything to do with us, that's it. That's why we're asking you to voluntarily send us an email and say, let's do this first one, Kim. Let's do it as a recording that someone can get.
Yes.
It's the safe sanctuary space, the hand over the heart breathing, probably quite honestly, just a few minutes.
Yeah.
And as we progress, we will probably expand on that and go grow that to, quite honestly, I would like mine anyway, by the end of next year, to be easily a solid hour in like a quiet sanctuary at the start of like every single day. That's something to build into. I think starting with a few minutes. What do you think of that?
It feels very calm, very peaceful, very calm and peaceful.
What are the other things that, you know, you might hear from us? Only if you want to hear from us will you hear, where we might add in something like a support group of coming together to make sure, like, it's a bit of a struggle initially to make time to take 3 minutes in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, we got stuff for that though too, but we'll get there. But other reasons why someone wouldn't do this, I don't have time.
Yeah.
There's just no way I can fit that into my morning. What do you have to say to that?
I have been there. That's what I have to say. I've been there. I've done that. I personally am not a morning person. I will literally stay in bed till absolute last minute. But I have moments in my day where things just randomly pop in. And there is time that is actually given to us throughout the day. It's about, some of you just need to do it at that moment when it pops in your head. You just do it.
The intention. Yours might not be early morning or the start of your day.
Right.
Because your life might not be conducive to that. But your intention is that you're going to have 3 minutes to stop and do this each day for a set period of time, a challenge of some sort.
Or you put a little timer in your phone.
Yep. A reminder.
Yep. You know, at lunchtime, your lunchtime is always here.
Yeah.
Perfect. Put it in your phone. Pull it up.
And there's it's called a koan, right? KOAN, I think is how it's spelled. It's like a meditation saying anyway, a tidbit of wisdom, which is if you don't have 5 minutes, something along those lines, if you don't have 5 minutes to meditate, then you need to meditate for a half an hour.
There you go. Woof.
It's pretty powerful, isn't it? It's like, if you're saying you don't have 3 minutes, you probably actually need 30 minutes or more.
Oof.
Isn't it true? So that's that's kind of, and that, I heard that one years ago and I was like, ooh, okay. Like, so you say you don't have time. If you don't have time, you are probably the person who needs the 3 minutes the most. So what would be other objections as to why people wouldn't want to say, email us or get this free, beautiful, sacred
space? There's really no excuse. There is honestly no excuse why you cannot show up for yourself every single day.
Right. Unless you truly prefer to stay and meet pain with pain. And
correct.
In that case, yes, but we'd like you to meet pain with what I'm calling today, pain with game.
Yes. Yeah. Play our game. Ah, so talking about a game.
Okay.
So in this email. Ooh, maybe that's what we need to put.
Okay.
Yeah. In the email, you're going to say, okay, you're going to email oneharmonichole@gmail.com. You're going to say, Kim and Jill, I want to play your game.
Put a game emoji in there.
Yeah. Center.
I want to play your game.
Yep.
And be fun.
I know.
All right.
Okay. And if you're struggling with emojis, you can write the word game. That's totally fine too.
Exactly.
So when you hear this, literally pop up on your phone and computer, wherever you're at listening to this, email us and say, I want to play your game.
And we'll get the recording to you. This first one, we'll do it as a recording.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. I love this.
I do too. That's fun.
Are you going to play our game with us? We love to make life fun and interesting, and it's not meant to be hard at all. We both have been through the hard stuff, and we still guess what
still
we don't. We did. Yeah,
do.
It's there.
Which brings me to one of the things that I read recently, a little bit along the lines of that, you know, if you don't have 3 minutes, you need 30. It was like, hey, if you don't have problems, you're not living. And I just was like, everything in me, I wanted to hiss at it. I was like,
yes.
But I was like, you know what? It's actually true.
Yeah, it's like you just got called on your bullshit.
Got called on my bullshit. But yep. It's like the problem is me. I was judging the problems rather than playing with the problems. So bottom line is, let's play with these problems. If you're interested, if you're not, there you go. It's fine. And also, yeah, we totally respect you. We love you. If you say you don't want to hear from us, we will stop.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
Yay.
Thanks, everyone, for being here.
Thank you. Thank you. And again, this was sponsored by Kim's business, which is Solstice.
Ah, thank you, Jill.
Yeah, yes. Kim does some wonderful, wonderful work. What are a few of your top services you want to tell people about?
I'm medical intuitive. That is probably the top one that I get. Most of my clientele is dealing with.
Crazy talented, by the way, in terms of medical intuition. She is wildly talented.
I
just recommend her enough.
Tap into your frequencies. That's really what it comes down to. Tap into your higher self. It guides you. Your body tells a story. And I just try to listen to that. So
she doesn't try. She does a very good job doing it. Wonderful.
Yes.
What's another?
Energy work. We'll do it. So healing touch, Reiki, vibrational star healing. That is my own little technique that
in person, by phone,
everything,
all of it,
all of it.
And where do they find out more about Solstice?
They can go to kimnisler.com, KIMNISTLER.com.
Wonderful. All right, everyone.
Thank you
so much. Jill and Kim with One Harmonicole. Until next time.